I hope the listeners haven't just randomly cut us off by now. Right. I'm really just hoping that.
Alright.
Like all the time and effort I'm going to put into cutting this and editing this to make it listenable, and if they just cut it off, oh god, I'm going to just feel so embarrassed.
Please just have pity on us. Just give us like a pity play.
Alright.
Yeah, give me a pity play. Just put this on in the background for Calvin. You don't even have to listen to it. If you hear something you enjoy, good. Calvin, coming at you once again. This week, if you're listening to this particular episode, it's because we here at Commander Cast have decided to take the week off. And because we've taken the week off, you're going to get a chance to hear an extended version of Dangly Bit. Now, don't get me wrong, this isn't just us randomly talking about stuff. I mean, it is. But, you know, you know how you hear us talking all the time about how our shows are 3 hours long? Well, here is a small compilation of various clips from those various episodes that we never actually added to the show because it would make the show extensively huge. So if you're going to listen to this, enjoy. I hope you get a chance to, like, you know, enjoy what's going on. Tell you the truth, right now I have no idea who's actually going to be on this episode because it's random guests throughout the time that we've been recording. And basically, that's about it as far as I have to say. You got anything you want to toss in there, Will?
Let's dangle it!
We're gonna dangle it in front of our listeners.
Well, we're already on the extended dangly bits, you know. Like the sexual innuendo is just piling on top of each other, man.
Dingly, so, dangly's just... Batman.
Man, that's horrible. Okay, look, I hope you enjoy it. Hey.
A fucking banana. Oh my god, Calvin, you have to promise me one thing. You know how we. What sort of interludes are you using between the different dangly bits? Like, I know it's usually the Transformers transition, but are you going to change that up at all?
I have no idea.
Because, personally...
Because it's one of those things I was still thinking of, but I wasn't really sure of what to put there.
Because, personally, and this is just my request, I would like it to be the Adam West Batman transition. Yes, that.
That's actually...
All right, we can work with that. If I can find it on YouTube, I can put it in.
You should be able to. I can't imagine why you wouldn't be. Actually,
I'm just saying, like, you know, I'm just making sure I throw out the precursor there. If I can find it on YouTube, it will be there. If I can't find it on YouTube and you listen to it and it's not there, it's because I couldn't find it on YouTube, so I couldn't steal it.
Actually,
borrow it. I couldn't borrow it.
You see, it's great because they're finally able to release the entire Adam West series on Blu-ray in a collector set. Like, it's a little...
Yeah, I've seen people going nuts over that thing.
Yeah, like, it's a little over $200. And I was actually going to get that for Ashley for Christmas, because that's the kind of stuff that she grew up on. She grew up on Adam West Batman. And her mom was watching that with her. You know, and keep in mind that these are, like, reruns. But like, that was amazing. So I just kind of put that out there, and I was like, so, Ashley, I heard that they actually finally managed to get the Adam West Batman on Blu-ray. And she's like, yeah, I saw that. I'm going to get that for my mom. I was like, damn, I could have gotten her the perfect present. So now the part where we're recording extra bits for the dangly bits also have dangly bits.
Yeah, so extra dangle in your bits.
You got your bits in my dangles.
dangles in my bits.
And Battalion is great, but when combined with Radiance, it can go really good, or it can be really, really bad. And it took me, like, remember when you were stretching before to figure out good ways to include that angel? You have no idea how far I've had to stretch to try to make Radiance work with Battalion. Because in order to make Radiance work the way I wanted it to, I had to find, like, three cards. There's like only two or three cards in Magic that can actually go in a red-white deck that will allow Radiance to work the way you want it.
Okay, you're gonna have to elaborate here, because I'm actually looking through the Radiance cards right now, and I can see a few that would work well.
There's like two or three cards. They're all artifacts, I believe. And they have this ability where you can activate them and turn target creature or permanent into a color of your choosing. Like Scuttermutt is one of them.
Wow.
Now, the whole reason that it works with Radiance is because Radiance only hits creatures of the color of your choice, right?
Right.
So since you're in red, chances are you're not going to have to worry about burning too many red creatures. But white is a very popular support color. Azorius, there's always the...
Bant, Esper.
Colors, Esper. Most of the control players play white. So you can't really burn or use some type of Radiance effect against a Sun Titan without accidentally knocking out half of your own field, correct?
Yep, that's a problem.
But if you have Scuttermutt and you tap him and make Sun Titan, say, blue or black or green, you can now hit him with the same Radiance thing and hit everybody else's creatures except yours.
I like that. That's nice and Johnnyable.
Right, but the thing is, since it's only two cards in a 100-card deck, you have to put other cards in your deck to search them out for, like, artifact searching, like, and this and that and the third, just to make sure you have the option to get them. You have to include Sun Titans and try to get certain ones back. You have to put this in so you can get this back. And it becomes, like, you have 60 cards. 20 cards are dedicated towards Radiance. 20 cards are dedicated towards Battalion. And the other 20 cards are dedicated towards finding the artifacts to keep Radiance from killing your Battalion.
That sounds horrid.
Yeah. I mean, it works, quote unquote, it works. But it's a bitch to play with, because now, instead of just being the red-white beatdown deck that I usually am playing as, I have to play this weird red-white beatdown slash control deck, and I have to, like, find ways to put this Scuttermutt on the field and make copies of it, or find ways to get this other artifact out the graveyard so I can keep using it, and find ways to putting all these resources to protect Scuttermutt. It works, but you're putting in a lot of effort to keep your Radiance from fucking you over.
Wow.
And that's the reason why I keep trying to save it for the end, because I'm trying to do the best that I can to not have to talk about how bad Radiance actually is with Boros. But on the bright side, it's not as bad, because Radiance can go your way. If you've got a bunch of red creatures and no one else has red creatures, you can go ahead and Radiance the shit out of your team. You can use Boros Charm to give your guys indestructibility and then target something that does like all this damage to a red guy and blow up everybody's red guy. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, you could definitely have that advantage in monocolor decks.
Yeah, so it's like Radiance would work really well in a monocolored deck if you just took some red Radiance cards and put them in a red deck. Because then, unless your opponent's playing red, you don't have to worry about it. But once you hit the two colors, and one of those colors is a really big, popular support color, and, you know, white has Wrath, which is something that lots of players love to play, but white also goes great with counter spells, because it has all those walls and, like, the Wall of Denial and stuff, which everyone loves to play. Or white goes really good with green, because you get to play, like, Reach the Redeemed and Rampant Growths and all these other kind of things, because that's amazing. Because of how popular white can be, the more people that play white in your group, the worse Radiance becomes.
Yeah. Now, see, leave no trace. The disenchant, I guess it's not disenchant, but...
Oh, the one that destroys all the enchantments and all enchantments that share that color?
Yeah. I will say, I started playing that Sakarta just to deal with Bruna.
I mean, that card is great. I mean, that's the thing. Certain cards, like those, are amazing.
Yeah,
because you're not playing too many enchantments in a red-white deck anyway. You know, a lot of the times when if you attack or blow up a white enchantment, the worst that you're going to blow up is going to be maybe your Assembled Allegiance.
Maybe.
Right? Maybe. Right. But that's if you're going after an enchantment that's red or white. But if you blow up like someone's green enchantment and you knock out all of their enchantments, all the other enchantments that have Shroud, or if you're playing against an enchantress deck that has a bunch of cards that have Shroud, you can target one thing and kind of automatically blow up the rest.
Yep. But see, the thing is, I started putting in Leave No Trace because then there are, you know, like stuff like Diplomatic Immunity that the Zerb decks play where the enchantment has Shroud too. there was actually no way to get around that, say for an actual wrath effect, right?
Right.
So by using the Leave No Trace, you could actually get around that, just kind of snipe all the enchantments they have.
Yeah, because you hit an enchantment that's on color in somebody else's side of the field. And because of the way it says destroy that enchantment and all other enchantments that share a color with it. It doesn't necessarily mean target those enchantments. All other enchantments that you see it get like the wrath white. Which is great because, you know, if you're playing red and white and you're not playing any enchantments, it's perfectly fine. But the problems that I come off with Radiance is like, what's the one that has, there's like a Radiance guy that taps and he pings a creature for like one and all creatures that share that color.
Yep, the Wojak Ember Mage.
Yeah, like if you give the Wojak Ember Mage, like, Basilisk Caller, you can no longer touch red or green red or white cards. Because he'll burn and kill every red, white card, and every red card. But then it includes himself, and he'll ping himself, and he'll die. So if you go after the white cards, yeah, you can now kill up all the white cards. But you have a chance of blowing up half your field as well. You will have a chance of, you tap him to ping or burn away, like, say Will has Sun Titan, because Sun Titan's going to be the generic card I'm going to go with. Actually, no, wait, what was your commander's color? Oh, what was her name?
Cigarda.
Your main? Cigarda, that's the red, white, black one?
No, that's the green, white one. Well, Cigarda would be better because then she has hexproof, and you can't target her normally anyway.
No, but the thing is that, say, for instance, I target white card.
Kalia?
So I can try to kill off Cigarda. I mean, I could target, like, if Kalia's being a problem, I can target Kalia, hit her, and kill all the red cards, all the white cards, and all the black cards. But that also kills my Ember Mage as well, plus basically every creature that I potentially have on the board. Unless I find some way to give them all indestructibility. There's cards like that that do pump spells. I can't really use those on my cards because I might accidentally be pumping and untapping all of my opponent's guys and kind of not really getting anything out of it. So I kind of have to have cards like Eldrazi Monument or Boros Charm or things like that just to kind of protect my field so that when I do use Radiance, I don't accidentally kill myself.
That sounds like way too much work.
Yes, and it is. It is. It is really way too much work. But in the same token, I kind of wanted to save it for the end because I still don't really know if it's enough work to be worth it. And also because Eric wants to be on when we talk about it, so I kind of want to save it for the end.
Ah, okay. Now, if anything else, you still have this whole segment that we just recorded.
Yeah, like, you know, we always have that, so I could always just take this and just kind of slap it in somewhere else and use that if needed.
Oh, great. Actually, I'm going to go ahead and drop something into the chat box because Kevin wanted me to remind him of it.
Oops.
But, close.
Oops.
Storm Scum.
Oh, yeah. Okay, the Storm Scum. There we go.
Yep, so I'm going to go ahead and lead us into this. And, Calvin, at what point do you want to bring up the Storm Scale? Just kind of...
I'm going to bring it up during the discussion of the mechanic that I want back.
Okay.
And even though it's a mechanic that I totally hate, the Storm Scale makes me actually want it.
It says you can't have it, so you want it more.
No. It's a mechanic that they have on it that's extremely likely to come back, but it makes for a valid argument for something that on the Storm Scale they have as a never possibility.
Okay.
I've got it pretty well thought out. I'll explain it when we get there.
Excellent. All right, so we're going to go straight into community after I get a tall glass of water. I'll be right back.
How are you going to set us up like that and then just walk away?
Is it wrong? I want hideaway on creatures.
Ooh.
Oh, that'd be kind of sick. Huh? I'm sorry. It's just, strictly speaking, commander-wise, there's only like two good hideaway cards. Maybe three. I think it's the Naya color one. The blue and black got hosed.
Yeah. Because what was it? What was the black one's hideaway cost?
Each player has to have no cards in hand.
Yeah, that's not happening in Commander.
I used to think it was a player, but it's all players. And the blue, someone has to have a library that has 20 or less cards in it. That's not going to happen.
And that's not going to happen either. The only way the blue one could even possibly work is if you're playing, like, some type of a heavy mill-themed deck. Like, well, what's the blue-black commander, god? What
Phoenix?
Was his name?
I have a Phoenix deck. Yeah. I have a Phoenix deck.
Like if you had a Phoenix deck and it's got like all the big defenders and you're just like going after one person and just
You might, maybe, so, on by the skin of your teeth, get the Blue Highway Land to work there.
So, you mean exactly what I do is I pretty much, first person that hits me, you lose a library, buddy.
Yeah, that means it's like,
I can't
okay,
wait
now,
for Geralt. Geralt's gonna make that so much better.
Yeah, and then, I can get some zombies for the mill action.
And you, who's actually really, really good for that deck, it's the 4-2 zombie for 4 from Innistrad. Whenever zombies deal combat damage, instead of dealing damage, they mill, and every time a creature card's milled, you get a 2-2 zombie.
And the creature's exile, too.
Yeah, that guy. That guy. That
Undead zombie. Alchemist.
Yes, he does work.
You know who's also awesome in Phoenix? Eater of the Dead.
I don't know that card.
You don't know Eater of the Dead? This is the one card that just auto-wins with Phoenix whenever Ashton plays it, because she actually built Phoenix, too.
Oh, I love it. I mean, yeah.
Eater of the Dead. So you pay 0 to activate it, right?
Right.
So it's a 3-4 horror, so like the not demons for 5. So you pay 0. If Eater of the Dead is tapped, exile target creature card from a graveyard and untap Eater of the Dead.
Oh, man.
And just every time Ashley has played this with Phoenix on the board, we have one turn to get rid of it, or she just insta-mills anyone. Because what we found is that most decks are creature-heavy enough that milling 4 will see at least 1, which is just enough to fuel more into the next milling. And once that player has been completely milled out, they're not dead yet. So if they have any creatures left in the graveyard, those creatures end up getting used as fuel to mill someone else out too.
Oh man. That's beautiful.
It's beautiful, I mean, and she loves it.
I thought I was being cheeky by building a Grimgrin deck and putting Phoenix in that. I thought that was cheeky, but man. You have to put that in there.
No, being cheeky is me switching from Lazoth to Draenu and deciding that I'm going to go ahead and call it a flashback. So nice I had to cast it twice deck. But then again, my playgroup is also the same kind of playgroup that auto-scoops when I hit turn 2, turn 3 Mesmeric Orb.
Yours does that too? Man, I don't understand the hate for Mesmeric Orb. I mean, I guess. Like, Mesmeric Orb is one of my favorite cards to play, and it drives me bananas. Whenever I cast that card, like, people just scoop automatically.
It's gotten to the point where Ashley said that she will cut and burn any copy of Mesmeric Orb that she gets her hands on. And she will also order, like, 20 plus copies of Mesmeric Orb just so that she can destroy them. Kaiba style.
Wow. Damn. I mean, my playgroup, I have on many, many occasions, I have cast turn 2 Olivia, and most people just scoop after that point now, because I run Possibility Storm in that deck, and Warp World, and I've done really bad things. I got a turn 3 Anawan, and everyone just scooped after that.
Yeah, turn 3 Stranglehold, auto-scoop for like 2 or 3 players, because all they had in their hand were fetch lands.
I'll tell you, see, that'll teach you to be greedy with your mana base.
Yeah. But, like, the Mesmeric Orb, I don't understand, because you still get to play Magic, and yet they keep screaming, no, it's the anti-fun card. It's a card that says you don't get to play Magic anymore. And I'm like, guys, you're just milling cards. Come on.
Man, that is hilarious you bring that up. That card, I swear to God, has started more fights than any other card I've ever seen. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me. Like, everyone talks shit about mill, and then I mill, like, what do you mill? Like, 4 cards, 5 cards or something on turn 5? And people just lose their shit. They're like,
people
people
don't respect mill at all.
No. But they flip the hell out with that stupid card. It doesn't go, I don't know.
I played a Keening Stone and I died immediately after. No, yeah. they saw that, they saw Phoenix, and they saw him turned on and had a Gas Lord of Fugue, and they're like, dead. I'm like, okay, I get that.
I know, I don't even play it in mill decks. Like, I play it in, like, you know, Caridor, or, you know, the Mimeoplasm, you know, something like that. I just play it just to put crap in my graveyard half the time. I'm not even trying to do Eater of the Dead shenanigans with it. And people they're just like, oh my god, I just lost 4 cards.
This is better than that enchantment you guys had on one of your last episodes. Whenever you tap a land, return it to your hand. That's horrible. This is better than that.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, that artifact, what was it? Damn it. Damn it, damn it, damn it. I forgot the name of it already.
Was that one of the secret texts from the episodes I wasn't here for?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. We do a lot of cool things when you're not around, William.
It's funny, I actually just listened to both those episodes today.
Oh, I see how it is. But how can you have a party without the party goblin?
Simple. Just leave them outside and crack open some beers and enjoy yourselves.
Ibnation will write again.
No.
Actually, I did get to play. It was the only EDH deck I brought to me to the convention, so that was the deck I used. And I actually ended up beating the Krenko deck.
I'm going to go with that was just, you know, luck.
Well, they were playing with a Goblin Piker, so.
Oh, I'm actually considering building a mono-red deck.
You got it.
I always say, like, not to sound too much like Clues, but if you do build a mono-red deck, my two suggestions are Ashley 99 or Krenko. Well, you know, like Krenko slash it, just because Krenko is such a powerful creature.
He is, but I'm thinking of doing Kirkesh. Oh man, me too. Kirkesh always looks so sweet. I've always wanted, what's that big, like, red goblin? Or not goblin, the big red, golem.
Bosh?
Bosh. Man, I tried to build a Bosh deck. That deck sucked balls. But man, Kirkesh looks kinda cool. I mean, it's someone else to put at a head of, like, a red artifact deck.
It just screams awesome. Break me, or do something with me.
Yeah, him, what do you have to do to break him? Like, Rings of Brighthearth? You know?
I mean, he can do so many things to so many people.
Yeah. My choice of mono red deck is either the Ib deck that I just built out, which combo red deck, but I also really like Jessica. I like just suit her up with anything Death Touch, and she just blocks two creatures at least all day. Or you give her the Sword of Cauldra, and then things get stupid.
Yeah.
Okay, but what else is? But you know what's not stupid? Going into our show topics for the day, Rich, you are a fantastic guest because we are getting all kinds of bonus content. So,
well, if you listen to our show, we clearly do not stay on topic well.
Clearly, but as host of the show, I need to rein us in. Something I actually don't do very well, especially when Calvin's here, because usually it's Calvin and I going off on these tangents.
Yeah, I'm just enjoying the fact that I can actually take a break. Like, this is great. We should have Rich on more often.
I'm always willing to come on.
All right, so.
My buddy had a Ashling 98 Mountains and a Valakut.
Yeah.
That's the variant.
Yeah, actually, I think one of Benny's articles was how he was talking to the guy who originally sent in that deck, and they decided, okay, it would be Ashlyn and, like, 90 Mountains, and then you just pick, like, the 10 best cards that you would want to play, because you'll always hit your land drops on turn.
There's this one mask, this artifact that's a mask, that you don't draw cards, you exile them, and you have the chance to play them. If you don't play them, it's exiled.
Oh, God, is that one of those ones from Kamigawa?
Yes!
Yeah. Oh,
like he had Ashlyn, Valakut, and that, and he just crushed.
Wow.
Because he's always going to play his Mountain.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Trying to find it right now. What quest have you sent me on?
It's a funky looking mask. I wish Gatherer was smart enough to have a place where you describe the art.
Uba mask.
Yes.
There we go. Yep.
If a player would draw, it costs 4. If a player would draw a card, that player exiles that card face up instead. Each player may play cards he or she exiled with Uba mask this turn.
Wow. So mean.
That is a crazy-looking mask, too.
He's just sitting there dropping mountains to Valakut.
Meanwhile, everyone else. Nice Sphinx's Rev, bro.
Right?
All right, so, technology time.
It also gave me a chance to do an episode that didn't have to be completely based around one particular subject, which I always find kind of interesting.
Yeah, that's actually kind of the way that things used to be run with Andy, remember? Like, he would just grab a bunch of different things together and just stick them together. But then, at some point, I started thinking, well, if I want to conserve content for what we talk about, and I want to feel like the episode has some uniformity, then I've got to find a way to stretch out a topic and find the different sides to it, right? I mean, it's like Morrow says, restrictions breed creativity. So there have been a lot of topics where I'm like, oh my god, how am I gonna fit this in here? Like, usually it's community, where like, okay, what do I talk about here? What do I even talk about here? And then I find something obscure to fit in there. Or there's like, strategy, or technology, and I'm like, I just don't know what to do here.
Yeah, those are brilliant.
One thing I would like to say though, there are several things that I kind of have in my mind. I'm still trying to decide whether or not I'm going to either A, record them separately, or you know, B, convince you to find a way to turn them into something so I can run with the idea for an episode or two.
Alright. We can do either.
We'll talk about that after the outro is done.
Yeah, we'll talk about the variety show idea that I've had stuff later. And then color me surprised when I get a text at like 5 in the morning via Twitter from you. Because I'm like, it's 5 in the morning. I don't even want to be up right now. Why is he up right now?
I get up at 4:30 every day for work. So.
Wow.
Which is 5:30 your time.
What do you do?
Yep.
I work for a bank, but I get to be, I'm at my desk at 6 o'clock in the morning. That way, I live a little bit away, so I try to beat traffic.
Ah, okay, that makes sense.
Hello?
Hey, Rich.
Hey, William.
This guy's messing up my settings. Hold on. Alright, I think that should fix it. And for some reason, I can't pick up Calvin. Mark, you there?
Yeah, I'm all set.
Awesome. Just gotta wait for Calvin to connect. Come on, Calvin. I know you're there.
Maybe Robot Terminator Calvin from last week killed him and replaced him.
That sounds legitimate.
In the meantime, I can read this story about this cat that lives on the streets and sold a book.
Are we talking cat like furry or cat like 70s lingo cat?
I mean cat like there is a small tabby that hangs out with this guy on the street and he plays guitar, and the cat's saying that he'll high-five the guy while he wears an adorable scarf.
That's pretty awesome.
Here, hold on a second. I need to let my dog outside.
Okay. Actually, I'll just go ahead and drop that link into chat for whoever happens to want to look. All right. So, Rich, happy to have you on. It's a pleasure.
Thanks. I'm happy to be here. Thank you.
Yep. And, Mark, do you listen to Card Advantage Podcast?
I don't, but now I'm going to have to start doing it. Hi, Rich. How you doing, man?
Good, Mark. How about yourself?
Good. It's good to hear.
Yep.
You give us a listen. I like our show. But I do like to listen to myself talk, so...
Awesome.
Actually, I'm a bit of the same way. I listen to every episode we record, partly because I like hearing myself talk, but mostly because it's actually a good chance to listen and hear if there are any points that I feel like I really messed up.
I like it because I argue with my co-host a lot, as you probably know, and I like to hear myself when I hear an argument that I don't hear everything he says when we're arguing, and I hear it later, I'm like, I was right, what a schmuck. My favorite.
Yeah, I've heard like 5, maybe 7 episodes so far, and that's already pretty about it. Actually, that's something I wanted to ask. Why is it called Card Advantage? Clues doesn't feel like a very Card Advantage kind of person.
Well,
Card Advantage is the most important thing in Magic.
It is, and that's what we were trying to come with. We were originally trying to do puns off card names, and we eventually, what's our show about? Well, I said, being advantage, talking about a bunch of different topics. Which we ended up getting away from. We used to talk mainly about card advantage stuff, and we really got away from that. We used to read tournament reports and stuff. We don't do that anymore either.
Clues does that a lot on Monday Night Magic anyway.
Yeah, that's just kind of why, because Monday Night Magic, and we share a lot of listeners that we decided that we just don't need to do that anymore. Hmm. But, we call it card advantage just because that's what's important in Magic, and I like blue.
Well, you're not the only one. And yet, it seems like you're the first guest who really does.
I've always been a big fan of blue, but I play derpy Ixidor decks. So,
but yeah, I like
a big blue guy.
That's true.
I play control decks though. Like it's not just blue. I like control.
Yeah. See, I play blue, but it's never control. It's always like big dumb sea creatures dot deck.
Well, in all fairness, those are pretty fun. I mean,
yeah, they don't win very much, but they are fun to play.
I mean, blue's got so many big creatures, people just don't think blue doesn't have big creatures. I'm like, yeah, they do. Stormtide Leviathan.
Blue gets some ridiculously big creatures at higher costs.
Yes, it does.
And today, we are joined by the anonymous Quagga?
That would be me.
I was about to say, what the hell?
No, I'm just saying, that's not me. I have no idea what that is. I'm not even in WordPress. Not WordPress, the Google Docs. No, yeah. I'm not even there. I'm on my phone.
It's because you're a Google Doc.
I am a Google Doc.
How's it going, Calvin?
It's going all right.
Just
want
to let you know, I loved your old show, Off Color Cast. That was one of my favorite podcasts. That was great. I just loved episode you guys completely diverged and didn't talk about magic at all. You talked the entire show about wrestling.
Yeah. It's the wrestling podcast that inevitably talks about magic to some extent.
Yeah, like briefly magic related. And I thought that was absolutely hilarious.
Yeah, so right now we have just kind of one big geek out moment. Like, I'm a fan of Rich and Clues' podcast, and he's a fan of our podcast.
Oh, wait, who's a fan of our podcast?
Richard.
Rich? Oh, really?
Yep, I've been listening to Commander Cast since Andy was on. And you actually like you guys better than Andy, because you guys seem more... Andy was good and informative, but you guys are more fun.
Yeah, I like Andy. The only complaint... before Andy retired,
you are recording, right, William, before we go too much further?
Yeah, this is recording, so you'll have this all for the extra bonus stuff at the end or for the beginning.
Oh, fuck shit, boobs.
Yeah.
Oops.
Yeah. So, like, when I was talking about Andy about taking over for the podcast, one of the things I did to figure out if this was something I wanted to do was I went back and I listened to every episode of Commander Cast up to that point. And, like, his early episodes were probably about as good as mine were when I first started. So there's that. But I think the one thing that actually bothered me about Andy was that he always seemed so crotchety about certain things that would come up.
Yes.
Planeswalkers.
Yeah, planeswalkers among them. But then
almost to the point of elitist.
Almost. Like, I do like the guy. He was he just had that natural host personality, the kind that you want to build a podcast around. But so many times I would find myself thinking, come on, Annie. You can think about it from this perspective and it works just fine. Or, come on, just give this thing a chance. Or, you really have to be that snarky about this new thing? Come on, I'm actually kind of excited about it.
Exactly.
Yeah, he did kind of have some of the old school flavor. Like that old, like, get off my lawn magic thing.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love the dude to death, too. I mean, not like I ever met him, but I love the dude to death, too. I love those old episodes. You're right about that first season, though. That first season of Commander Cast is really, that's damn near unlistenable.
Just to make sure I put this there, the viewers and opinions of William does not necessarily reflect those of CommanderCast.com or its associates and affiliates.
Until I instigate some sort of policy because I own the website. But disclaimer.
My views directly reflect what Card Advantage and Clues thinks.
So,
yeah,
Chris
loves the blue.
Loves the blue.
Critch. Rich.
Critch.
Crotchety Rich. That's what he's going for. I see where you're coming from.
No, I'm saying Rich and Clues did the old fusion dance. Now we've got is it Clues Rich? Critch.
Yep. The thing is, though, if we made an Is It deck, there's no way it would be a good one, because I would want control stuff, he would want super aggro stuff, and it just wouldn't work.
Yeah, you just do, like, Popper Goblin Test Pilot as a general.
Yes.
Actually, that sounds like a viable strategy.
Actually, I saw a Popper EDH deck that was stupid broken. It was Gelectrode.
Oh, my God.
Oh. Gelectrode and all spells.
Like, you don't even have to say anything. Just, like, Gelectrode, and you know what sort of shenanigans are itself.
It was terrifying.
Okay, so we have an episode to record, and I actually have everything set up for once. Hit the buzzer. That's a wrap. Zing. Okay, that was fun, and my throat has now been resorted.
Yeah, you have no idea how good it actually feels to have someone able to actually say that without me having to make acknowledgement of how I'm not going to say that.
Let's see, we just need to get you your own sign-off, Calvin.
Nope. I've had sign-offs before, I'm just not using that for this particular one.
Well, yeah, that's why we need to find you one that you can use on this show.
I just tell everybody, good night, everybody, and I'm out.
It's classy.
And that's about it.
It is classy. But you know what else is classy? Kill a Kill. Now, you might think I'm talking out my ass, because you see some of
and
the promotional art.
You probably are.
Well, to be fair, a lot of the promotional art, you see a lot of the skimpier outfits, and it's like, oh, okay, this is just one of those shows where they're just trying to use sex appeal to the demographic. And
boobs.
Boobs.
Those are there in abundance, but in an odd way, it's actually some kind of a deconstruction of that. It's actually, I read an article once that did a very good job of explaining why Kill la Kill is a deconstruction of fan service. Now, like, there's gratuitous fan service that even I could turn off of, like, okay, this is just an ass and tit show, Real Wars! Coughing too hard tonight. But a lot of the show it's so high energy, and it's so proud of what it is that you end up not caring. Like, in the third episode, the whole point is, no, don't be ashamed of this thing that you have to wear because it's giving you an incredible strength. Don't be ashamed of how you look because you just can't give a shit about what other people think of you. And there's an intense power and pride in that throughout the show that I absolutely adore. Satsuki is the antagonist for the first half of the series, and she is one of the most magnificent villains I have ever watched. It's no small feat to actually say that this is a character that's actually inspired me to kind of live my life in a different way.
Oh, wow.
Like, there comes a point where she's trapped in a dungeon, and she is in a state of utter humiliation, and yet she never loses her composure, right? Like, she still holds herself like she's the big boss. And to see someone in that difficult of a situation, carrying herself so well, that's something that inspires me. Like, I used to be the type who would walk around with watching his feet all the time, making sure he wasn't tripping or anything. These days, I'm actually, you know, I keep catching myself doing that, and I keep saying, no, you're lifting your head up and you're walking proud. I've never watched a character who's actually done that for me.
That's awesome.
Like, Rich, did you ever watch Monica Magica?
No.
No. Okay. Well, another fantastic series. The English dub of that was a little lackluster. I'm going to say that just because the voice actresses were a little less experienced.
Yeah.
But the voice actress who did Mammy, the sort of mentor big sister character for that show, also voices Satsuki in the English dub, and she just nails it. Like, originally, based on what, because I watched the Japanese version when it was airing live, you know, I kept thinking, okay, Satsuki should have this lower voice, she should sound more mature. And she's not as low as I would have initially liked, but the execution of the showcase lines, they just hit it. She just nails that pitch of, I'm gonna do this thing, and you guys are gonna watch me do it because that is your place.
Have you ever watched Black Blood Brothers?
I have not.
That sounds racist.
Only to you, Kelvin. It is phenomenal. It's a 12 episode series. It's really short. But their character development and all of that is overall phenomenal. And they're one of the, he's like an anti-hero because he's a villain, but he's not in this. And his name is Zelman Clock. And he is one of my favorite anime characters ever. Because he knows what he is. He acknowledges what he is, but he doesn't let that limit him to what he can do. Like, he knows he's bad, but doesn't mean he can't be good.
Okay, so we've got a villainous protagonist.
Yes.
Oh, I love those so much.
He is one of my favorite anime characters. And so, I mean, it's a short series, but it's really good. My wife's not super into anime, but she'll watch that one.
Oh, like, a lot. Actually, right now, what Ashley and I are in the middle of is we're watching the Roberta's Blood Trail, the OVA Black Lagoon series, and the stuff that they do in shows like that. Like, one of my favorite tropes is the villain who ends up joining the main party. Like, you watching Avatar, that Zuko.
Yeah.
My first experience with that was it was either Tommy the Green Ranger going on to the Power Rangers, which okay. Mind control. I'm less up on that. The first true example, though, was Dinobot and Beast Wars.
Yes!
Like, oh my god, I loved it so much when he came to the Optimals of his own will. Like, he wasn't mind-washed, or he wasn't mistaken, or anything like that. No, this fucker betrayed the bad guys because he thought there was a better deal for him on the other side. Now, he wanted to take... Now, he was doing the whole Starscream thing where he wanted to take over leadership, but he still actively chose to side with these guys because he knew that they were winning.
Yep. I mean, he was self-serving, but in the end, they had an impact on him.
Yep, and then he had that cute romance with Aragne, and that was nice.
It was special.
That was special. And we have had almost 3 hours of this special moment, but as Mara would like to say, leave them wanting more. So I'm going to go ahead and hand the call and leave this to be some very amazing buffer and out and behind-the-scenes stuff. I'll talk to you guys later.
All right. All of it, Kelvin. Just all of it. Put it out raw.
3 hours.
The raw, dirty.
Be like, oh my god, another 3 hour episode? What's this, a set review? Nope. Regular ass show. Just sitting here talking.
Just an hour's worth of behind the scenes stuff. All right.
That would actually be kind of interesting. Might cut that and just put that out later on in the week. Just like, here's an extra, like, 40 minutes of just random stuff that happened that you didn't know.
Actually, I would almost prefer that, because then it's like, well, we're not bogging down the regular people with what they think is going to be an ass-long review. unless they somehow think we have that much to say about Morph.
No one has that much to say about Morph.
No one has that much to say about Morph. They're going to get there, and it's like, they're like, so we've got, like, 30 minutes of morph discussion and about an hour and a half of Yu-Gi-Oh! Kaijuto anime, cross-dressing, gender-bending, and any other randomness that happened to show up that I forgot.
I'm going to end this call before I go into a rant on how amazing the Legend of Korra finale was. Now we have cat demons. How awesome is that?
Okay, one thing flavor-wise that I find interesting is that Naga is its own creature type.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah,
it's not
a
subset of snake.
Does that mean you think they're going to go back... What's that? That coiled oil? Is that coiling oracle?
No,
it's from
Ravnica. Coiled oracle? Yeah, they're going to have to go back and like retcon that, make it a Naga?
No, they're not going to retcon any of the old snake types, because there's still snake tribal support. Like, you're not going to see any of the Orochi creatures from Kamigawa Block turn into Naga. That might be what that's probably what they're gonna do going forward. But they're not gonna retcon stuff.
I hope not. That'll totally mess up my Sashiro tribal deck.
Yeah, I do like Naga as a type though. Like, you have Elephants and you have Loxodon. although evidently Avalanche Tusker is an Elephant Warrior, and Ivory Tusk Fortress is an Elephant. So now we're getting into like Goofy and Pluto territory.
Well, I'm glad to see that birds have made a comeback. That's great.
They even are back.
So what I want to know is why didn't they differentiate between cat? There's that Rakshasa that got revealed that's just a cat.
No, it's because it's a cat demon.
It's a cat demon.
It's a demon cat.
I watched the world building panel when
that
it was being streamed, and they talked that the Rakshasa are specifically cat demons.
Okay. I didn't get a chance to see the stream, so I'm waiting for them to put it online.
Well, aren't Naga technically snake demons?
They're just snake people.
They're snake people. I thought that they would have snake on their creature line, but they don't.
That's so weird.
Yeah, I mean, it would have been strictly better for them to be snakes, because then they go into the snake support trap.
Wizards confirmed for snakeists.
Okay, so...
Oh my gosh, where do I begin on spoilers that I want to talk about?
You begin in the technology segment when we get there, son.
I know, but like, how do I choose?
I know, I had to limit myself to three, because I didn't want to, like, jump on anybody's lightning.
I'm trying to limit myself to three.
Well, whoever comes back next week will be able to finish up, because, like, we have so much spoilers, and a whole legendary creature that's yet to come out, that next week is just going to be con spoilers part two. Because remember, we want to try and keep this under 2 hours.
Yeah.
That's true, it's true.
Try is the operative word.
Yes, very operative word. I mean, we're already going to be talking about, what, two planeswalkers, four legendary creatures, potentially. Like, I may even have to cut that down to three and just say, we'll do one of them and whoever's revealed as the fifth one next week.
So, like, one of the games that I played on Cockatrice with Ixidor, I got to abuse Mischievous Quanar.
Oh, nice.
On someone's upkeep, I was like, cast this reset, flip up, copy it. Reset untaps all your lands. So copy resolves, all my lands untap, tap one for high tide. Tap out to turn Quanar face down, flip it back up, copy, reset, over and over and over. And then I blue sunned the table.
I was waiting for some horrible thing, like you're dropping Eldrazi's left or right. Nope,
blue sun. This is on the next person's upkeep, because you can't cast reset on your own turn.
Oh, that's right.
So, yeah. You could use, like, turnabout if you wanted to do it on your own turn and drop an Eldrazi.
Nice.
Or no, it was on someone's draw step, because you can only cast reset after their upkeep. So I was like, after you draw, I'll kill you.
Again, so much better than anything I've ever done with my Ixidor deck. So.
One of my other combos is Cloudstone Curio with free morphs.
Oof.
So I bounce them back and forth for infinite storm count.
Yeah.
So dirty.
I mean, I need to build this in paper at some point, because I'm kind of on a little, like, build one of every color, monocolor.
Nice.
So I have Lin Sivi. I have Kirkesh, I have Yisan, and I'll probably do Ixidor, and then probably Jisa. Jisa Ghoulcaller.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to Jisa coming out.
Yeah. I do have one of each monocolor, except for mono black. So.
No, tell us about this Gamergate, though.
Gamergate is a movie. Either of you other guys familiar with it?
Yeah, is it? Are we talking about the girl behind Depression Quest?
Hashtag Gamergate, yes, sir. It's deeper than that, though, and it's actually transitioned into a lot more than that. Essentially, what's happening is due to circumstances that happened with this Zoe Quinn person who created Depression Quest, an indie game, basically there's huge reform being called for right now in the realm of video game journalism, wherein video game journalists are being exposed left and right as being basically extremely corrupt, as having lots of backdoor deals that are going down, people who are trading sexual favors and monetary favors for good press, people who are trading advertisement for good press, which we've always kind of known about with game journalism. But all of this stuff is being brought to light, and it's basically sparking a big movement. It's sparking a big, this needs to change immediately. So,
I have not heard about this.
Yeah, it's still, I mean, a lot of the stuff that's going down, basically where we're at right now, the people who are against Gamergate are essentially calling out everybody who's a member of Gamergate, calling us all misogynistic, anti-woman, you know, neckbeards, virgins, things like that, because that's all they know how to do is just hurl insults because they don't have any legitimate arguments against Gamergate. Wherein, you know, advocates of Gamergate, people who support it, are essentially just saying, look, we know that bad stuff is going on in the video game industry right now, and it needs to stop or else we're no longer going to be supporting it. So.
Sounds fair.
Okay, so Gamergate is the name of the movement itself to correct this.
If you go to Twitter, hashtag Gamergate, you'll find a lot of stuff. That's more or less what it's been dubbed. There have been a few other hashtags. There was some stuff based on PAX Prime, when that was going down. There's a lot of good material out there, and there's a lot of good work that's being done. We've actually got, kind of funny, I listened to a radio show earlier, and he actually came on. Are you guys familiar with the actor Adam Baldwin?
Yes.
Not Adam.
Adam Baldwin. He was on Firefly,
Never
the TV show. I can't remember the character's name, but he played like kind of the surly, burly, like bodyguard guy who was with them on Firefly. Anyway, he's a relatively outspoken actor, and he's actually joined forces with Gamergate. And he's now spreading a lot of word, and he's doing a lot of work on his side to expose video game journalism as what it is, you know, in its current form.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know. I don't want to get up my soapbox here, but, like, you know, I teach journalism. My degree is in journalism. So, like, calling it game journalism was always shady to me. Like, it's enthusiast press, but what they do is not journalism. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it never has been. And, like, I love listening to video game podcasts, reading video game websites. I think, you know, that's what I do when I'm not doing magic stuff. And I think that's great. But yeah, for a long time, I think some of these issues have been simmering under the surface because what's been masquerading as breaking news is just a press release from EA or something else, you know?
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate. I think that the thing that I thought you were going to go in a different direction with JT, and I thought that maybe we could talk about this one day on Community. The outside, like, it's unfortunate that the two things, like the unjournalism that a lot of that journalists practice that have now been exposed by Gamersgate is kind of coming head to head with a lot of the tropes versus women, like the Anita Sarkeesian stuff and the Zoe Quinn stuff that's been brought up. And I thought that would be interesting, like, just that idea of how, because of all the tropes and stereotypes that, like, video games in general or, like, gaming culture can sometimes be a not pleasant place for women to be, I thought would be interesting to talk in terms of magic for us. I just think it's unfortunate that, like, this movement that really needs to talk about how shitty game journalism has been and how in bed with the manufacturers it has been for such a long time is getting mixed up in, you know, this other really unfortunate, like, death threats and rape threats against women women game producers and game developers. Yeah, how those two things have been meshed together, and they are both very strong subjects on their own right, but they've just kind of, like, messily gotten into bed together. So, it's unfortunate.
A lot of that is actually derailment that's going on by the opposition. The fact that they're kind of bringing up the fact that, you know, all of you gamers are horrible, misogynistic pigs. That's not accurate.
That's a lot of white knighting, I've always thought for a long time.
There's a vocal minority who speak up in Xbox lobbies, and everyone's like, you could always join a, you know, a game of Call of Duty, and, you know, if a woman speaks on the mic immediately, they're told to get back in the kitchen. How horrible. It's like, yes, one of 16 people will be an asshole because they have a shield of anonymity, because they have no repercussions.
The well, this person is say, a wonderful and scary thing.
Yeah.
Because of that.
It is what it is.
Xbox Live is just a cesspool sometimes.
That's why I'm a Nintendo person.
That is going to take much, much more work. Problem is, what's happening is a lot of these, you know, as you actually put it correctly, whereas calling these people journalists is kind of a joke. The problem is, they are experiencing all of the same privileges and handouts and freebies and ability to do interviews and things that that a journalist would normally entertain, because they're calling themselves journalists.
I know. And it's... Well, that, I mean, that, again, that was my own private soapbox for the longest time. It's annoying to think about that. Like, you know, you would never think of, as much as I love the guys in, like, Polygon or Giant Bomb or whatnot, I do not put them in the same category as, like, the guys getting their heads cut off by ISIS, you know, who went in and tried to expose a story. Those guys are journalists. You guys are glorified PR reps.
So. They're bloggers.
Yeah, exactly. And there's nothing wrong with blogging, but you gotta call it what it is at a certain point, you know?
But the thing is, you know, it's still, if they want to ever even come close to qualifying as journalists, they need to follow the same integrity and the same, you know, layer of transparency that other journalists do.
Sure.
You know, yeah.
I actually was working towards journalism being my major when I was back in college. And, you know, that was, you know, I actually did a lot of interning too. I worked with a local radio station. I got articles published with a local town paper. And that was real journalism. You learn a lot about the ethics and, like, you know, you gotta refuse the payola and the, you know, the plugola. You know, a lot of the ethics things. I actually ended up getting out there because, you know, just some of the background politics got too much for me. I was going in there for sports journalism. My dream used to be, okay, I'm gonna go into this field, I'm gonna cover professional football. That is going to be my thing. I'm going to get paid to watch football and write about it. How awesome is that going to be? And then you just end up dealing with all the industry stuff. And no matter what field you go into, it's going to follow you there. Like with football, it's dealing with the general managers and the players and the conspiracies and the problems that come up. Oh, this player skipped practice? What does that mean? Oh, he's holding it out because he doesn't believe his contract is right? Oh, he had to stay at home at the hotel because he allegedly had strep throat? What? Oh, it's okay. We're not going to sell the team. Sells the team 2 weeks later. Oh, it's okay. This guy, we know that this quarterback is our guy. 3 days later, gets traded, and backup Joe is starting.
Yep. It's funny you bring up sports, you know, like sports journalism, William. A lot of times I think like game journalism and sports journalism, I would put sports journalism on a little higher level. Like, I think ESPN just has a little bit more integrity, just only because there are more eyes on it, you know, than your standard video game journalists or video game critics, etc.
Well, I think the thing is that sports journalism comes into a form of entertainment that's a lot more mainstream.
Yeah, exactly. You know, because we're still, I won't say video games are niche anymore. You know, they're getting to be more popular and they're getting to be more of like a regular thing. But like the hardcore, I hate using that fucking term, but you know, the people who are really into it as like the enthusiasts,
the people who aren't just playing first person shooters and Madden every year.
Yeah, or the grandmas who are still playing Farmville on Facebook or something. Yeah.
Does your grandma still play Farmville?
Jeez, my grandma can't even work a fucking VCR, so never mind. Not even DVD player, like, we're still talking VCR, so.
At least it's not 8-track.
Progress.
Alright. And with that, I am going to go ahead and end this call because I have been up way too late. So I will catch you guys next week. Mr. Bear?
What's up?
Alright, first one in. Come on, guys.
God, so noisy ringtone.
JT joins the house.
Good.
Good. That's all you have for us is good?
I have good. Give me a moment. Give me a moment for headphones.
Do headphones wear you?
I am sorry. I am preparing myself for dealing with bears. There is bears in this chip.
What? What did Gregory join the call?
I have Baldovian bears in this chat. I'm going to need to wrestle them.
Sounds like Natasha and Boris are trying to get them, and like here comes Rocky and Bullwinkle trying to spoil their plan. Oh, we'll just take this string over here. Oh no, we have no string to tie the bear.
Okay, no. In all seriousness, I do legitimately love bears. Like,
I know.
Like I was one of those kids who grew up with like a teddy bear growing up.
Don't try to suck up now to the show.
No. This is like real talk hour here. Like, one of the saddest moments of my childhood was me being in middle school, and then my mom having to go through my room and throw away all my stuffed animals, including a teddy bear that I've had since I was like 2, because they might have had lice. You know, never mind putting them in the freezer and just kind of freezing the lice off. No, we gotta get rid of them. And like, that was like one of the worst moments of my childhood.
Yeah, it was one of those things where like, I enjoyed them growing up, but like, it wasn't a focal point. And then, for whatever reason, I went away to grad school like deep in the woods of Virginia, and all of a sudden, like, that's where a lot of bears were, and all of a sudden it just like clicked. It was like, man, these animals are awesome. Yeah, they can kill me, like, at will. If I was right near them, but, you know, well, especially with all the black bears, they're just, like, very calm, like, you know, they don't easily get pissed off unless you give them a reason to, and it just kind of grew and grew, so when I got involved in podcasting within MTG, I was like, I saw people, like, latch on to certain magic cards, and, like, that was one of the first cards I picked up, so it made complete sense, so hence Paul Duvian bears.
No, like, yeah, I love polar bears. Polar bears are probably some of my favorite animals, and, like, I wish they took, like, this apparently very good animal personality survey thing, and it actually said, like, I was a bear. And the description it gave wasn't, like, that vague bullshit thing. It actually felt fairly accurate.
Yeah, it's sweet. Like, they're very smart, interesting animals, for sure. Like, polar bears, actually, I would like to see. Especially, like, they're pretty good on ice. You'd think, like, they'd just plop right into the water, like, from break the ice and stuff like that. They're actually pretty agile. Surprisingly.
Okay, let's see.
Just letting you know, this extra bear love talk is going to be cut from this episode and slapped into the random segment episode up in stockpiling.
Let's see, that would make sense. But also, unfortunately, I now have to be racist against bears in every episode. Thank you for that. That was not
I didn't realize you needed a reason to be racist against bears.
Well, he just gave me one.
It's gonna really come down to the way that the community, like, takes us back, because William, you may end up finding out that you're actually really embarrassed.
Oh. Hey, that's still pretty good.
Those last five were pretty fresh.
Yeah, those were pretty fresh. There's points for that one.
Old man yells at bear.
Yes!
Hold on. Like the grumpy old guy in the movie Up just yells at a bear, get off our lawn.
Hold on, I'm going to take that photo right now.
Just like, get away from my honey stash.
Okay, that's better. Let's see. Oh, that's a calculator. Why did I open a calculator?
I don't know.
Okay. How many times you said you ate bears in one sitting, just calculating it up.
Okay, let's see.
JT.
Yeah.
Do you follow wrestling?
I do not.
Oh, piss.
I'm familiar with what a Daniel Bryan is.
What a Daniel Bryan is?
A Daniel... I believe I've seen one in the wild.
It's wild.
It's in the wild.
Off with a beat. And its index fingers
it's like
are...
Like I shot one the other day. I mistaken it for a hunting game. I've felt horrible ever since.
The most dangerous game.
Well, the main reason I'm asking was because I was thinking about doing another podcast. Well, you know, for whatever, when I do actually have some extra free time. And I'm going to see if I can get either Cassidy and Christian back together so we can just talk about wrestling.
There's a lot of Magic players that are wrestling fans. I was quite impressed. Like,
yeah.
Cedric,
that's all I'll tell the chat.
It's Cedric. Doesn't Big Head Joe talk about it as well? Like, or somebody on your MTG Taps?
Yeah, Big Head Joe talks about it all the time.
Yeah.
But what I really want to do is I want to... Okay.
I'm sorry, did you say Big Head Joe?
Yeah.
Big Head Joe. When you first said it, I thought you said Bigot Joe.
Oh, is he racist against bears too?
Who would call themselves Bigot Joe?
Bear Bigot Joe.
With a name like that, you kind of already got an idea of what you're looking forward to for the next hour and a half of community talking. Like, women in magic.
Like, no, I am not hanging up the skull until I see that picture.
People are more different than me and why they suck.
Well, for one thing, they got all that hair.
On today's community segment, I hate everyone.
Son of a bitch! my Megazord fell over. Good thing I don't think anything broke.
Yeah. Thank God. Yeah, like I'm not sure because the thing is I'm not sure if Christian is even in the mood to do any more podcasting. And I know I would like to do podcasting, but I'm not sure if me and Cassidy can control an entire wrestling show just the two of us. So I might see if I can find someone else who might be willing to just do some additional recording for some wrestling content.
What about, I thought Angelo got back into wrestling, or got back into watching wrestling from Pit Imps.
Ooh, I might have to hit him up then. Like, yo, Angelo, what are you doing? What are you wearing?
What are you wearing?
What are you buying?
What are you selling?
That ass. But, like, because the thing is, like, I kind of want to record, it's like, I would like to try to do another episode of Off Color. But I really don't feel comfortable doing off-color unless Chris comes back. And I'm not sure if Chris wants to do any more off-color casts.
Where's Chris? What the hell? What happened?
Well,
to
Chris
him?
Is still he's still around, and, you know, he still sort of plays Magic and stuff. You still hit him up and still talk with him on occasions and stuff. But mostly Cassidy got the store. I started doing this, and Chris just didn't like the idea of doing off-color cast as much anymore.
What the?
Sprinkle's working on a Kalia cosplay.
For a second, I thought he was going to say his Sprinkle was working on a bear costume.
Oh, my God! Oh, wait. This is a tease, right? That was my weak version of... Ah!
When that costume is complete and I have a photo of it, I can die happy.
What he really means is he, once he gets that photo, he's going to go touch himself, too.
Well, then!
Oh, my God. Real life Kalia? Slap, slap, slap.
No, flop, no. Flop, I'm No, the bear picture is already... circling the web.
It's already circling the web?
It's going around the internet. It's not actually going anywhere on it, but you know, it knows of the internet.
It's in orbit.
It's orbiting the internet. Yeah, I uploaded the updated version onto the show notes.
There we go! Oh, that looks so much better. Oh.
Who knew when hating bears can be so fashionable?
Lord knows I talk enough for it.
And let me know if I'm stepping on people's toes, like, because I'm used to recording with one other person. So,
no, this is fantastic. I love it when our guests have a lot to contribute.
Sorry, Mark. I kind of feel like I'm just kiboshing
you.
Don't
worry about it, man. No, it's awesome, man. It just makes me look forward to go check out your podcast now. I'm always looking for really good magic podcasts. I think sometimes, especially, that can be hard to find a really good one that you really like listen to for a while, you know?
Yeah, it can be. And
is amazing.
Thank you. We try really hard, and we try to talk about everything. Like, Clues isn't as big in Commander as I am, so I reference Commander a lot. And, I don't know, we're both very polar opposites in how we play Magic, which is why we fight all the time. But,
yeah. But that's got to make for a good podcast, though.
It does, and people like that. And I think Clues does a really good job of getting, because he knows some WotC contacts. So we've had Sean Main on a couple times, and we're close to getting Mark Rosewater on, we think.
Nice.
You guys get Mark Rosewater on, and I'm going to be jealous as hell.
You guys can get Mark Rosewater. We're going to find a way to get Ken Nagle on. The Commander designer.
Boom, that'd be amazing. We did have Sheldon Ennery on twice.
Yeah, and we're going to have Sheldon on later this year to talk about the Commander products.
Well, that's what we did. We talked about last year's Commander products with him.
Yeah.
And we had an episode on how him and his friends came up with Commander.
Yeah, we did that exact same thing. Oh, this has turned into a podcast rivalry now.
Boom. Except we don't talk about as much Commander as I would like.
Well, it's... The chemistry's been amazing so far. So far, I'd love to have you back.
Awesome.
Let's see if we can keep this mindset by the end of this.
Okay.
The best part about this conversation is that I've just been editing my Karthus deck the whole time.
Okay, legitimate question based according to the podcast. Have you guys stopped doing the Ask the Community segment?
It's not that we stopped doing the Ask the Community segment. It's that we either don't have time to do it or we keep forgetting to do it.
And a lot of times by the time William tells me what the community segment is going to be, it's Thursday. And it's like I could post it up, but by the time we get a decent amount of responses, basically people have like roughly 2 days to respond before I just
What if we did it for the week after? I mean, what if we said like, in the end of the show, we had like a preview of what next week's show was going to be, and then
that would be awesome if I managed to figure out.
But William can't think of that far enough. William doesn't have the brain capacity to think a week ahead of time.
Okay, see, here's the lowdown. I would love to be able to know what our next two topics, what our next two episodes are going to be. The problem with being a topical podcast is that whatever comes up is going to end up coming up, and sometimes those things don't come up until like the day after. Like last week we recorded on Thursday night, the band announcement got made the day after.
Sure.
Like I know for sure that we're going to have the Theros Lookback review next week, so we actually could end up dropping a question into the Twitter and the show notes asking what people thought of Theros or what their favorite card Theros was or just anything like that.
Not only that, but what if we just asked it as soon as it came up? You know, I know people look at the CommanderCast Facebook page, so like the band announcement is made. You look at your phone at work, you're like, holy shit, the band announcement is made, and then you make a post on the CommanderCast Facebook wall. Hey guys, a band announcement was made. Tell us what you think and we'll talk about it on the show.
That one's on Judd and Calvin.
Hey, I posted it up on the Facebook page letting people know the band announcement was there, but I didn't know when we were going to be discussing the band list.
Probably in the next episode.
It's safe to assume from now on that anything topical that's relevant to Commander will be discussed.
I think it'll be a good way to get people more involved. Like, I think that it would be, because I enjoyed those, like, back in the good old days, when they had the community call out where you just post and then Calvin would read random shit. It doesn't even have to be a silly thing where we do the music or whatever. We could just talk about what some people talked about or comments that people made.
One of my favorite things about the older days was when we had to call Inferno.
Ooh. Yeah, the call Inferno.
That one I would love to see come back.
It's not one that I'm opposed to. The problem was finding enough people to actually come into the call Inferno that wanted to do it. Like, the impression I got from when Andy was doing it was that, you know, not enough people would show up, or people would not be good at it. It's...
They wouldn't be worth talking to, is what you're trying to say.
It's...
Are you trying to alienate our listenership?
You gotta make people worth talking to, though, I'm sure.
It's not that. It's more like they would bring up things that, yeah, they wanted to talk about and were worth some discussion, but they might have been things that were either beat down or there just wasn't a lot of meat to it. So you only got like three or four people that could actually do this. Say they would come up and it would be, okay, we talked about this thing for like 5 minutes and now we're moving on and I guess that's it.
Oh, well, I guess what I would encourage is put out a call Inferno to everyone, like a radio show, like a Rush Limbaugh thing or whoever, you know, where it's like, you know, caller, you're on the air and they're like, hey, I think Grizzlebrand should be unbanned because I think he's sexy. And we're like, that's an awesome point. He is a pretty good looking demon. Next caller, you know, like that type of call Inferno.
Okay.
Where it's like, if they bring up something relevant.
Tell you what, once we figure out how to do like a live show, we'll try and do something like that, like on the, like the Adjustin TV stream or something like that.
All right. Well, YouTube has streaming now, doesn't it?
I think it does. Yeah. All right. So we're going to go ahead and go into our strategy segment. And JT, I'm actually going to have you wait. Calvin, are you still here?
I'm here.
Calvin?
Yes.
Okay, because you're coming in a little quiet.
I'm waiting. What?
It's coming. No.
Okay.
There it is.
Okay, because I was about to say, JT, go ahead and lead us into the strategy segment, but then Calvin dropped, so I want to make sure we got Calvin back.
Oh, sure.
Apparently my Skype didn't want to hear what your suggestion for the call Inferno was going to be.
Well, fuck you, too.
One thing I want to toss at you, I believe that on the Facebook group, as of this moment, we are about 3 subscribers away from reaching 700 followers on Facebook, and on Twitter, I believe CommanderCast is, what is it? Is it 100 or like 10? I forgot last, it was like 9 something.
Let me check. Okay, so the CommanderCast Twitter has 924 followers. And
so we're 4 followers away on Facebook, we're 74 followers away on Twitter from reaching 1,000 people.
And we have 697 likes on Facebook. So we're 3 away from that, which means that now after hearing this, we are going to lose 10 people.
Eh, it happens. But you know, we've lost plenty of people in the past. But I've noticed that for every head we've lost, we've gained like at least 3 more. So even though you might not like us, you know, 3 more people out there who aren't in your shoes actually do. So, yeah, good riddance to you for leaving us. And, you know, once you are wanting your commander fix and wanting to come back, we're not going to judge you. We're not going to have a problem with you. You can come right on back. We still love you for who you are and not for the jerk that you were.
Oh, right then.
So, good riddance to you, and then hello to all your friends.
Weed out the weak.
Just because your playgroup loves us doesn't mean that we you here.
Yep. And just out of curiosity, because I would like to keep things tight and needy, CommanderCast on Tumblr has 117 followers, because I still need to work on making sure that updates regularly.
And the main thing I want to say about that is, like, you know, with us having 1,000 followers on Twitter, we have 700 on, or we're close to 700 on Facebook, and each week we get roughly about 1,200 downloads, give or take. Every time is a little more, a little less.
That's pretty good.
Sweet. Yeah, we get like, what it's like, it goes between like 1,500 and 1,200. The last show that we had that didn't really get many downloads for it was like 3 weeks ago, but the lowest it reached, I believe, was 8 at the moment. 893. Because since I have access to the, copy of the, archive, I can actually just look up like every time the show has been downloaded, but it only happens every week. So I can't tell how many people have downloaded us in the last week, but I can tell how many people have downloaded us prior to last week.
That's weird. And see, that's actually just the direct downloads too. We don't know how many people are downloading from MTGcast yet until we.
No, but the thing is, like the MTGcast for those, as far as I can tell, it goes from the same link too.
Ah, okay. So it should.
Because like I can see like what the generic total is, because there's like downloads like for Rival's Duel, which I use as my control base, because Rival's Duel only goes up on CommanderCast.com when it does go up, and things like our special like things like when we got our preview card only went up on CommanderCast.com. I didn't send those things to MTGcast. And I use those as like a control base to see how many people listen to us from our regular site and to see how many people like download us between going from our regular site and MTGcast. From our regular site, we usually get about 300 downloads, give or take. 300, 400 downloads, something like that. So like, when you go to CommanderCast.com, there's about 500, like, there's about like 400 people that's there downloading the show, give or take. Sometimes two, you know, it varies week to week. But like overall, when we add in MTGcast, the numbers jump from like 200 and 400 to like 1,012, 1,500, and so on and so forth. Which is why I say we have 1,000 listeners at the very least from just downloading. We have about 300 or 400 dedicated listeners who come to our site specifically when we're not available anywhere else. And we have, you know, hundreds of people and thousands of people almost on Twitter and on Facebook that follow us. And yes, we love each and every last one of you.
So when are we internet famous?
I believe we are.
When you get hosted on That Guy with the Glasses.
Who's chomp chomp chomping in the background?
Not I.
Now someone's just like quietly chomp chomp chomping in the background.
That'd probably be me.
He got called out. He's like,
who? Alright.
BRB.
I think the only person who would probably appreciate this is Calvin, but they finally let Yingling be sold in Connecticut. It's like my favorite beer, so I was pretty happy.
What was that?
Yingling? You guys must have that down.
I have never heard of it.
Yeah, it's a Pennsylvania beer. So, but like the only place I used to literally have to go down to Jersey to get it, because they, for whatever reason, would not sell it in Connecticut, and it was a big deal this year. They sold it in Connecticut. Now, like, every place around here has Yingling. This means nothing to anyone but me, I grant you, but I was happy because I got to drink beer. So.
All right.
That sounds perfectly fine with me. I love the idea of getting a chance to get a decent beer in me.
Yeah, there you go. There's like one guy listening to this who's like really happy that I mentioned that, so.
The Green Deck has two instants. Two.
Yep.
What was it?
The Green Deck only has two instants.
That's more than I want to play.
Hold on. You're playing green. What do you need with instants? What are you doing with a stack?
Fog.
Are you crazy.
Fog.
Crows and Grips, you kill that top.
Come on, you got Song of the Dryads.
Fuck that card. Fuck that card.
Oh, I love that card. It's so good. That is one of the cards I just bought like playsets of over the weekend.
It's Lignify on crack.
Yep. That's so good.
Being good doesn't mean I'm gonna like it.
On legitimate crack.
Yeah, it's so awesome, man. Oh.
I believe the term is on steroids, sir.
It's crack.
Hey, and, you know, it's not as good, but when we get to the blue deck again, Aether Gale is my new favorite 5-drop. Like, holy crap, I love that. It's nice to be able to bounce 6 permanents for 5. I'll take that.
I thought there was one card in here that was only one card from some section.
Oh, Mark, the preview.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, but actually, that's actually a pretty interesting thing to bring up, because the red deck only had one enchantment in it.
Yeah, actually, the black deck only had one enchantment in it, too.
Huh. I didn't realize that.
So is this like a theme? Is it like a cycle of one card from one particular type in all the decks?
No, because
the green deck only had one instant.
Two.
They all only have one planeswalker.
I don't know, the blue deck had 3 enchantments. The blue deck was actually pretty well, diversified, I guess you want to say.
Grounded.
Like, how many instances or sorceries did the, blue deck have?
So it had 25 creatures, 7 sorceries, 10 instants, 16 artifacts, and 3 enchantments. Pretty well rounded overall.
Never mind it, because then that just breaks it up, because the blue one's out of you to bust it, one that was more stuff.
Well, come like, on, the blue one was going to have more instants, you know? So.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, you know, the other decks, are like, not the red deck got one enchantment. The green deck got one instance. The black deck got one enchantment. The red deck, the blue deck, nope, we got motor discs, we got a bunch of these instances, we got a bunch of these sorceries, a bunch of these, all these creatures, and this. Greedy
what
bastards.
What was the enchantment in the red deck?
Bitter Feud.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I'm looking at the MTG Salvation list, and it's listing Bitter Feud under Other, so.
Yeah, because it's new.
Yeah, so they didn't do that. So when I'm looking at it, I'm like, huh, what? Oh, yeah. Oh, and it had Dual Caster Mage. I hear Dual Caster Mage is kind of popular.
Hmm?
Dual Caster Mage?
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a little good.
He's pretty good.
I mean, I suppose if you play like other formats, who the hell wants that? Yeah.
I can easily see taking them out and using them just for like a resale bait.
Oh yeah.
If you ever actually got high enough to be used for that.
Okay. Wait, did JT come back?
Yeah, I'm done here.
Okay then.
I've been here.
We just didn't know he's been here.
Going to start the segment without William again.
All right.
And I got distracted by a pop-up in the chat, so I'm going to close that for a moment. Okay, I'm going to stop because I want to see what the hell's going on in the chat now because it just keeps popping up.
You guys should read that out loud.
Okay, so...
We'll let
JT talk about this.
Okay, apparently. Mark started us off by asking, if you play Oblation on Tuck Tuck, do you have to yell Tuck Tuck Tuck? Which, William corrected the spelling, Tuck Tuck Tuck. And my response was, they respond by casting Hinder targeting Oblation to Tuck Tuck Tuck's Tuck.
But like, say you're actually going to play the card, but like, you get, you know, like, I don't know, you get your clothes caught in the chair on the way, do you get stuck by playing Tuck Tuck's Tuck?
Let's just hope you don't yell any expletives when this happens.
And here comes the point where I'm just going to take my phone, I'm going to flip it face down so I don't get distracted by the chat. I have no idea who's going to be talking anymore, and I don't really want to get involved in this part of the conversation. Because yeah, eventually we're going to be back on Tuck, 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 Tuck.
Yeah. Calvin had some bad luck with Tuck, Tuck, Stuck, Tuck, Tuck.
Tuck, 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 Tuck. And most of my primary,
It's okay, somebody will bolt. And,
what was that? Did you just say I'm coming out the closet?
No, I'm saying someone's going to bolt it.
Are you?
How did you get come out the closet from Bolt the Bird?
Hey man, it's a different land over there in Jersey.
Yeah.
It's not that different. It's not that different.
Well, hey, you boys want to go Bolt the Bird later? Yeah. Oh, somebody wanted to vacuum all of a sudden.
Calvin on mute?
He sounds like he's
vacuuming. But in case anybody is interested, one of the main reasons why I'm silent is because I'm currently using a handsaw and some power tools to cut some wood into pieces so I can use them to build my own personal couch.
What the hell? Why isn't anybody focusing on the podcast?
All right, this might be the best ever. So we have carpet going on as we speak.
Like, don't get me wrong, I am focusing on the podcast, but in the same token, it's like as far as I've said, like the other decks, I haven't played any of them, so I really have no like comments against or for them either direction. Not that I have a problem with it. I'm basically kind of listening to everybody else, so I can kind of like get an understanding of which ones I want to pick up next.
Calvin,
I've got no questions or qualms. Unless we talk about the red deck, I really have nothing to say.
For the sake of your ass, you need to focus on that couch, man. Come on. Priorities.
You will never find it all. I am baking muffins as we speak.
I wouldn't be surprised.
So let me get this straight. We all have probably the best pre-con, the best pre-con set from the Commander thing so far. And all five of us are currently busy doing something else that has absolutely nothing to do with actually talking about it.
But look, I'm sitting here looking at the deck list.
I'm sitting here looking at the deck.
I have the deck out on my
table. You don't want to know what I'm looking at.
I don't want to know if you're looking at.
Does it share three letters with the word deck?
It does indeed.
Dak Fate?
He's looking out his window at a dock.
Nah, man. It's mallards. Mallards all day. Wet ducks.
Wet ducks. Okay, so the reason why I put the queue up, I wanted to ask the question about the green deck.
Yeah.
Dangly bits.
Let's see, in between your couch building, please. That's the word.
Calvin, can you take a break from your couch to give us a card?
Yeah, I'm done with building the couch for the moment.
Hey, side dirtily bit. Like, I had no fewer than three people insta-quit on me over the weekend when I played Mesmeric Orb online. Like, turn two Mesmeric Orb, fuck it. Oh! I just quit. Like, God damn you! And they're out. It was awesome. So,
oh my god.
Yeah, it was great. I had no idea. One of these days, I'm gonna get together, and I think we should all write, like, a community, like, irrational hatred card. Like, irrational card hatred article. Like, all of that should be our community article.
But so. I love Mesmeric Orb.
I know, that's the thing. We all love Mesmeric Orb. Like, so I think, this is my proposal, that we should have, like, a one that we irrationally hate, like, a card that we irrationally hate, like, I hate Ural, probably with not a whole lot of reason. And then, a card that we know everyone else hates, like Mesmeric Orb, but that we love. So.
That sounds like a great idea. The only thing is that Great Whale will never be on that list.
Oh, it can't be. No.
So what you're saying here is that they saw you play Island on turn one and didn't scoop then, but then they saw the Mesmeric Orb show up, and they're like, oh, no, fuck this, and now I'm out.
Not even! I played, it was Mesmeric Orb in my Caridor deck. So. And they're just, well, first of all, I played with, like, the saltiest salt truck on the planet. He's just like, oh, my God! Oh, it's junk color! Junk color! Just so goddamn busted! And then, man, all it took was turn two Mesmeric Orb. And he's like, goddamn! Oh! It was, like, rage. It was great. I could almost see the rage in, like, the faulty typing he was trying to, like, scream at me in the chat window. It was great. I tried to play with him again. But he didn't want to. I don't know why.
Because he knew you were going to play Narset next.
Oh, come on. Give me some credit. Jesus.
Just double checking, because I'm sitting here eating ice cream while listening to all this, like, getting fat.
What kind of ice cream?
I've gone from couch building to ice cream eating. No, I've gone from wine drinking to couch building to ice cream eating.
Well, you need a place to eat the ice cream, which is where the couch come in, so, duh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, standing up and eating ice cream sucks.
Definitely.
Well, I don't know, man. Like, that's kind of what the ice cream cone is for.
That's a mobile ice cream delivery system, let's be honest here.
Oh, yeah. Like, my favorite thing to do when I'm judging at a local event is there's a small place called North Market across the Columbus Convention Center. And they have a place called Jenny's. And Jenny's is just the single most richest ice cream in the state. Like, everything's local. It's made from all natural ingredients. And, like, oh, my God, I love going there when I judge. So,
not saying these other cards aren't good, but because of the fact that Felden was there and they were there, you kind of felt like you needed him for them. But with them gone, now you can use Felden on your Wormcoil engines, and you can use them on your Pentavistas, and you can use them to bring back other bigger, more effective things. Like, for instance, you can go for a Workhorse. You could put a Workhorse in your deck, use Felden, bring them back, take them counters off, use Felden, and just generate tons of mana. There you go, you had it. I have no idea how long that was. Maybe it was an hour, maybe it was less, maybe it was more, who knows. But those are the most some, but Ixidor. But those are some of the random conversations that happened off air, quote unquote, between Commander Cast and our various listeners and our various guests that we've had on. So if you want to contact us, the usual is there. My name's Calvin, I'm also on Captain Rizzo on the internet. Email is email, at Captain Rizzo, email is CaptainRizzo@gmail.com. Don't forget to check out the Facebook page, don't forget to check out the home version, which the Dangly Bits doesn't have, because we're on vacation, ladies and gentlemen. You're lucky you got this. Let's see. I can't provide contact information for all of our guests that are on this particular thing, because quite frankly...
Go find the episode they were in.
Yes, if you can figure out who it is and by voice who they are, go right ahead, go back to that episode, and their contact information is in the show notes there. William, contact information?
Yeah, if you want to get in touch with CommanderCast, hit us up on the Twitter, at CommanderCast. You can email us, CommanderCast@gmail.com. We also have Tumblr, CommanderCast.tumblr.com. I hope I kept up with that by the time this comes out. Curse you, past William, if you haven't. Let's see. Thanks to Calvin and Judson for his Facebook page. 331 E-Rock, he's the guy who does all the music that we borrowed for the show. You can store him on Patreon. And, you know, we'll be back to regular programming next week on with community, strategy, and technology. Until then, ban the whale!
It's a Dangly Bits episode.
Sure.
There's no getting of anything here.
Yeah. You know, with all this building up and all these inside jokes, I can't wait until we actually get to do a proper Dirt Mander cast next year.
Ooh, that'll be awesome.
Yeah, like, the first Dirt Mander cast I did failed spectacularly, because I was just trying to replicate what Andy did the one time that he did it. But then I realized, a month ago, that episode was funny, because they were already building off of what they had built up as running jokes. And I didn't have those at the time, because that was like the third, fourth month that I was doing this. This time, though, we bring everyone together, we've got the goods.
And we've got the Dangly Bit.
Yes, and we have more Dangly Bits for the Dangly Bits.
We've got the goods from the Dangly Bit.
Okay. So what I just linked everyone to in the show notes, or in the chat log, is a link to all of the commanders that I use in the order that I have this prepared. So, live, and this is going to be for the Dangly Bits episode, so what's going to happen is I have written up a brief summary of what each deck is like. So I'm going to need someone to read off a commander in order of the list so that I can go ahead and give the listeners a brief idea of what each deck does.
And that someone is not going to be me because, as per usual, I'm on my phone and can't see the damn show notes.
Without my nose goes, my fingers on my nose.
I got it. Kalia.
You want me to be the bad guy? Okay, now I'm the bad guy.
Damia.
Damia? Okay, that's a big Twinkie.
Caridor.
Strike me down, and I will come back more powerful than before.
Narset.
Ask not the sparrow how the eagle soars!
Anamar.
Damn, I can't read my own handwriting. Hold on. Oh, there we go. Okay.
No, that's
okay.
Perfect. Just perfect right there.
No, it was going to be magic wand! Make my monster grow!
He was giving him a chance to remember. And she just said, that read Derevi. That called his name.
I fight for my friend.
Oh, Derevi.
Run! It's Gojira!
Sindri.
Autobots, roll out!
Nekuzar.
You want to know how I got these scars?
Gahiji.
Get your ass away from that pallet.
What? How'd you know? No, for Gahiji, I've got... Let's see. It popped out of snow! Like daisies!
Lavinia.
I am the law!
Rexiel.
Mine crush!
Lysolda.
1, 2, 3, dead!
Bulbarigmos.
That's my secret cap. I'm always angry.
Trostani.
And flights of angels sing thee to thy rest.
Aurelia.
This is Sparta!
Obsidian.
I see dead people.
Farika.
Snakes. Why did it have to be snakes?
Oh, question. When we get to Kozilek, can I do it? Because I'm pretty sure I know the one.
Zagana.
Something.
There's always a bigger fish.
Niv-Mizzet, Drake of Genius.
Bill! Bill Nye, the science guy.
Avison.
In the name of the moon, I'll punish you!
Azami.
What's in the box?
Giza.
You know what's in the box.
You moved the headstones, but you didn't move the bodies?
Ib.
But everything changed when the Fire Nation attacked.
Frailes.
If you want to beat me, you've got to keep both eyes open.
Sliver Lord.
This is a bug hunt, man! Game over! Game over, man!
Alright, you're up with Kozilek.
Well, say the name.
Kozilek.
You can't handle the truth!
Wait, what?
Butcher of Truth?
That was not where I was going at all, sir.
Damn it!
Really? No Jack Nicholson? Come on!
Okay, now, granted, that would have been good, but I don't know the rest of Kozilek's name offhand. I just know him as Kozilek.
The Butcher Kozilek of Truth.
The Butcher of Truth.
How many Butchers of Truth are there?
Now see, I was gonna go slightly more in another route. So go on,
give
me the name again.
Whatever William says now is just gonna be completely boring because it's not Jack Nicholson.
Yes.
True.
That would have been I will admit that would have been amazing.
Kozilek.
The angels are attacking!
Yeah, I don't
really?
Know.
Really?
And Elwood's Abomination.
You need to change that one, buddy.
I straight up don't get.
That would be funnier as Avacyn if it's Angel Tribal.
Now see, it was because it was an Evangelion reference.
Don't care. We're group vetoing it. It's now the Jack Nicholson line.
Just go ahead and cut out what
cut
I
that.
Because Clay just came up with something better. Like, damn it, that is good. Like, ah, damn it!
I'm not cutting out what you said. I'm still keeping that. The listeners are gonna know you fucked up.
No, dude. It would have been made more sense as an Evangelion reference if you were just like Shinji getting the damn robot.
That is what I had the first time, damn it! I was like, damn it, that's not an actual line. I can't use that. God damn it! I was so
so close. Yes, so far.
Damn it, Shinji getting the robot. I had that. I had that written down! Oh, well. Okay, so, as an aside, what did you guys think?
I think they're okay.
Damn it. Ah, yes, there we go. the Jack.
Something about that was extremely long, and I have a feeling I'm going to have to cut a lot of it up just to make it, you know, so listeners don't just randomly cut us off because William's just naming random shit. I'm going to put it there, but it's going to get cut up into different segments and as a part of it. So here is another part of William naming stuff for his decks.
What happened to the three word titles? That's what I was expecting this to be.
I mean, I could do
that. That's what I was wondering. Because
there's a bunch of lead up about that.
All the trouble trying to figure out a way to get it down to three words, and it's like everything he says is a full fucking sentence.
I mean, because that was going to be for the dangly bits, and I thought that would be funnier for the dangly bits. I mean, like, I can do the three-word ones for this episode, and be like, William was at it again, and this time he decided to just go balls out and do references. All right, now I'll ask you guys to indulge me one last time, so I will do...
No.
No? It was going to be the three-letter ones for this episode. Come on.
Three letters?
Yes.
Okay.
No, three words.
A, B, Z.
Hey, he said three letters. Guys, you heard him.
Turns out it's all just spread out and be like, ah, fuck. You line it up.
That's more than three letters.
Okay, so indulge me one last time for the sake of having this on file while we have it.
All right, let's go for it.
All right.
Kalia.
Everyone kills me.
Damia.
Really big bombs.
Carador.
Can't stay dead.
Narset.
Let's suit up.
Animar.
Need more dice.
Derevi.
Tappa, tappa, tappa.
Sidri.
Autobots, roll out.
Nekuzar.
Wheel of Fortune!
Gahiji.
When Sprouts swarm.
Lavinia.
Neo before Zod!
Rexiel.
Milam again!
Lysolda.
Gotta go fast!
Borborygmos.
I'm always angry.
Trostani.
Not enough angels!
Aurelia.
Move it, soldier!
Obsidat.
Where are the Ghostbusters?
Farika.
Everyone get snakes!
Zagana.
Ban the whales!
Nibmizzet, Drake of Genius.
It's science time!
Avacyn.
I'll protect you.
Azami.
I'll allow it.
Giza.
Rule 1, cardio.
Ib.
Boom! Headshot!
Fraelis.
Let it go!
Kozilek.
Roll sanity check.
Sliver, Hive Lord.
Why not Zoidberg? There we go. I have been indulged. Thank you very much.
I'm gonna be honest.
That
almost...
one wasn't nearly as bad. That one I probably end up actually leaving completely uncut.
Yeah, that was pretty good. Man. Although I almost didn't make it through the Fraley's frozen bit. I don't know if I.
Yeah.
I almost lost that one. I'm not gonna lie.
I almost hung up. I'll be honest.
Like I heard it, and like I'm like, oh no, yeah, he's going for it. Okay.
I mean, like. It made sense because it was the Ice Age, and she was the one who ended it.
I get it. I didn't.
Like, and see, that's part of why I did the references afterwards, is I'm like, no, I can't do that. They'll kill me before I finish it.
Well. I did like the three letters better. Yeah,
those are a lot snappier.
Yeah, it worked. Yep. It was fine.
I don't know. It was definitely a fun exercise. Like, it came about because I remember Brian. Said that he liked to come up with, like, five-word sentences that accurately describe what his decks do whenever he lends them out.
Mm.
So I'm like, oh, I'm going to try doing that with my decks. Hmm. And then I thought about, like, how some flavor text, you only get so many words.
Right.
So, like, it's actually a really good mental challenge to try and think up of the different flavor texts that you would use for that card. So I just did it for decks, and that was actually really fun.
Hmm. Okay.
Oh, well.
But okay. I will say though, I am feeling that Move Out Soldiers one for a deck that I'm going to build. I like that.
All right. And with that, I call this podcast recording adjourned. You're all free now.
40... Took long enough.
Let it gas.